In the late 1960s, on the campus of Columbia University in New York City, thousands of students gathered on occasion at the steps of Lowell Memorial Library to confront the establishment in the name of social revolution. Yesterday, about 1,000 students, accompanied by the college marching band, convened there to see 25 colleagues, mostly male, take off their clothes and zip across the campus in the nude. Once they called it indecent exposure. Now on campuses across the country, it's known as streaking. And so many alleged students are doing it at present that this crazy fad may already be on the wane by the time you hear this broadcast. Psychologists say it's a form of adolescent self-assertion, an inarticulate, subconscious protest against adult taboos and hypocrisies. They also agree with unprofessional unanimity that it's not very sexy and not very serious. Some of them have noted, too, that spring must be on the way. There have been a handful of academic suspensions and even arrests, but mostly the disciplinarians have been looking the other way. The appearance of streaking, even at High Dome Columbia, would seem to indicate how far the pendulum has swung back from the 1960s, the age of confrontation and politics, back to the 1950s, the era of phone booth stuffing and panty raids. Some streakers have attempted a Hegelian synthesis between two opposite trends by pretending to streak on behalf of something. Thus, one group of students announced an impending streak for impeachment at the White House, but then quickly went the way of the 50s, saying it was all a joke. They wouldn't want to get in trouble. In the 60s, getting in trouble would have been the chief attraction of such an escapade. One student, though, definitely has streaked for a cause. When fellow students convened an anti-streaking meeting, he streaked through it. Since this is America, with increasing popularity, streaking has quickly become diversified, specialized, and professionalized. Streakers are claiming records, the most at a school, the longest runs, the coldest temperatures, and so on. Colleges may even be rated for streaking, just as they now are for football or basketball. There's a creative outburst in streaking headwear, ski masks, aluminum foil, and the like, although you'd think hiding your face while bearing everything else would be a cop-out. There have been a whole series of streaks on motorcycles, one on a wheelchair, and one by parachute from a low-flying plane. But the streaker who takes our prize for creativity was the man actually seen running through a nudist colony, fully clothed. Unfortunately for enthusiasts, the fad, though explosive, does not seem potentially long-lived. There already is some speculation as to what the crazy college kids will try next. We've heard one weird suggestion. You buy a bunch of bound piles of papers known as books. Then you take them to your room or some other quiet place, read the printed matter inside, and try to learn something from the content. It's called studying. But obviously this is much too far out ever to catch on as the next in thing on campus, even for jaded streakers looking for new kicks.
Flashlight won't flash. Tape player won't record. Everyday frustrations like these make men yearn for power. Hi, Pat Summerall here. True Value Hardware Stores are the place to get that power. Ever-ready alkaline Energizer batteries. They last far longer than regular batteries, even when they're not in use. And they resist leaking. So satisfy your yearning for power. Get Ever-ready alkaline Energizers in all popular sizes at the participating True Value Hardware Store near your home.
While Newsweek magazine's cover story this week explores and explains the Watergate indictments, four masterful columns explore and explain other major national concerns. Guest columnist Willie Morris has some delicate observations on sexual morality. Kermit Lantzner probes the deafening quiet on our college campuses today. There is Henry Wallach's last column before he leaves Newsweek to join the Federal Reserve Board. And Stuart Alsop reports on the latest round in his gallant battle with cancer. All in Newsweek and nowhere else.
Walter Cronkite reporting for CBS News.
Lowell Thomas brings the news. From Washington, from Paris, from Cape Hatteras, comes today's news as reported by America's foremost newscaster, Lowell Thomas. Now, here is Lowell Thomas and the news.
Good evening, everybody. The Energy Front, American Motorists, were pledged today nearly 1 million gallons of extra gas this month. The pledge coming from Energy Czar Simon, he added that every state will receive a greater supply of gas in March than in February, also saying there'll be an end to gasless Sundays. That's in the offing. But first, the Arab states will have to lift that oil embargo. Washington again, a second Watergate grand jury indicted six in connection with the Ellsberg psychiatrist break-in. The accused, including two former White House aides, John Ehrlichman and Howard Colson, also G. Gordon Liddy, and three Cuban-Americans, Bernard Barker, Eugenio Martinez, and Philippe DiDiego. They were in on the Watergate break-in. Secretary of State Kissinger, a witness today before the Senate Finance Committee testifying in opposition to the so-called Jackson Amendment attached to a new trade bill. This, the amendment aimed at denying Russia most favored trade status unless Soviet Jews are allowed to emigrate freely. Dr. Kissinger saying Soviet reaction to such a provision could be severe, meaning that the Kremlin might react by cutting off emigration entirely. And if the president asked my opinion, said he, I'd be inclined to recommend a veto. Whatever anyone else may have thought of his press conference last night, the president himself evidently decided it went off all right. A spokesman today saying that Mr. Nixon plans to meet with newsmen more in the future. Nearly everyone I've talked to today at JFK, in flight out here and now in Colorado, they seem to think that he appeared relaxed, full of confidence, more so than ever. Found at last, that first ironclad Civil War vessel, the Monitor. Its final resting place, 220 feet of water, 15 miles south of Cape Hatteras, the lighthouse. This, according to oceanographer John Newton of Duke University, saying he found it with advanced electronic gear. The Monitor, commanded by Admiral Wharton of Quaker Hill, Pawling, New York. It won the first battle ever between ironclads, the Battle of the Merrimack and the Monitor, remember? And later it was lost in a storm. Now so fragile, we hear, that maybe it can't be raised. Britain's month-long coal mine strike officially ended today, the miners accepting a pay offer, double the offer made by the previous British government, and now subway workers and railroad engineers are demanding comparable raises, claiming if the miners can flout government wage guidelines, so can they, and it may mean a new burst of inflation. Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, a virtual ghost town today. Shops closed, industry shut tight, public transportation at a standstill, a general strike by some 80,000 workers. One of their demands, a 200% pay increase. Observers add that the labor dispute could involve renewed violence. One diplomat saying, it needs just a tiny spark, and then it's off again. American beauty queen Marjorie Wallace, age 19, reigning Miss World, stripped of her title today in London. Britain's Mecca organization, which runs that competition, citing an alleged inability to fulfill the basic requirements. One, to maintain a first-class public image. This following some romantic escapades with American race car driver Peter Revson, British soccer star George Best, and rock singer Tom Jones. The French press today, a Gaelic view of the new streaking fad over here. Francois observing that galloping nudism has seized American schools. La Parisienne calling the new fad a degrading spectacle and asking, is this a consequence of sexual information in schools? Ho, ho. But the French papers were all carrying plenty of pictures. At the University of Binghamton, New York, a search is on for a man accused of terrorizing a number of co-eds. What he does is ask a girl the time, how to get somewhere, and when she raises her hand to look at her watch, her point, he admires her manicure, and then suddenly attempts to break or bite off her fingernails. Police adding that he usually picks girls with long nails, leaving them literally hurt to the quick, would you say, Bill?
Some hurt more than others, Lowell, but an injury to vanity for all.
Millions of children are growing up today with a special emptiness. A deep down hunger for the world beyond a street corner. But they'll never learn what's out there without books. Riff, reading is fundamental, is getting millions of books into the hands of children who have none. Books they can choose and keep. Books that make them want to read. Won't you help? Write RIF Incorporated. That's RIF, care of Smithsonian Institution, Washington, D.C., 20560.
Now for your next story, Lowell.
A later day war of roses reported from Devon, England. The main combatants, Mr. and Mrs. Anthony Ferguson, they recently were separated. Part of the deal, to share a two-apartment holiday home. The missus getting the garden. Therein lies the rub. Mr. Ferguson returning to court, claiming his wife refused to let him tend his roses. Thorny problem. Decision worthy of Solomon. Judge assigning care of the roses to husband. Care of everything else to the wife. She gets cactus. And so long until tomorrow.
CBS News. There should be more gasoline at your neighborhood service station this month. Not all the fuel Americans want, but there is a chance for more. I'm Jim Kilpatrick, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. The Federal Energy Office had granted gasoline allocation increases to all 50 states for the remainder of the month. A few states, such as New York and New Jersey, will get less gas on a daily basis, but some states are real winners in the new allocation plan. Alaska, Kansas, Louisiana, Minnesota, North Carolina, Oklahoma, Texas, and Wyoming will receive 100% or more of the 1972 allocations. Energy Chief William Simon indicated he is even considering withdrawing his request that service stations close on Sundays. As Americans attempt to figure out why gasoline shortages, the American Petroleum Institute reports gasoline inventories are up 5% over the same time last year. Energy Chief William Simon was asked if the release of more gasoline had any connection with Republican losses in special congressional elections.
The special actions that were taken by the Energy Office in February were indeed long before these special elections, and we were interested in reducing the lines at the gasoline stations and the inconvenience with the refinery shifts at the to maximize the production of gasoline. We believed we had sufficient flexibility to exercise this. It was a judgment on our part, and we believe that we're right.
Energy Chief William Simon. Unpublicized government figures show gasoline consumption in the U.S. down 9% for the first 3 weeks in February. More in a moment.
It's so good to see the green grass grow again. After years of being careless, now the folks seem to know it's time to pitch in. Time to pitch in. We can breathe a fresher air. There's more beauty everywhere. 'Cause more people seem to care. They're all pitching in.
We've got to pitch in. America, we got to pitch in to clean up America. And if everybody keeps pitching in, we can call on America, America the beautiful, once again.
Oh, yeah.
How can you pitch in? Write United States Brewers Association, P.O. Box 2570, Washington, D.C.
The Labor Department reports wholesale prices up 1.5% for February. However, there is some good news. That's about half of what the jump was in January. The main cost increases continue to be food, fuel, and metals. The biggest jump in the food cost was fresh poultry, up more than 25%. Wholesale gasoline prices up almost 10%. Wholesale beef prices did drop a little over 1% last month, and Agriculture Secretary Earl Butz urged supermarkets to cut retail beef prices to reflect lower prices paid to farmers. The president of the National Association of Food Chains says meat prices will drop in the next week or so. General Motors says it will eliminate the second shifts at three big car assembly plants and will close 15 of its 22 auto plants for 1 week starting Monday because of the continued slump in big car sales. The one-week closings will idle more than 56,000 workers. In Dix Hills, New York, 8-year-old John Caldazilla is still missing after being kidnapped on his way home from school Wednesday afternoon. Authorities are releasing few details in the case, but reporters say a black briefcase was delivered to the house Thursday. It is thought the kidnappers may have demanded ransom money be placed in the case. In San Francisco Friday, the Hearst family will start the fourth day of food distribution to the poor. Still no new word from the kidnappers of Patricia Hearst. More news after this.
Don't let anyone con you into thinking it's wrong to turn in a heroin pusher. You're not ratting. You're doing your part to wipe out one of the most insidious epidemics racking our country today. So don't let anyone kid you. If you really care about the quality of life, if you really care about improving society, you'll do everything you can to get the heroin pusher off the street and into jail where he belongs. If you have information about a drug pusher, use the heroin hotline. The number is 800-368-5363. That's toll-free from anywhere in the country. The number again is 800-368-5363. A trained operator will answer your call, take your information, and pass it on to experienced federal agents who will investigate. You'll make your own special contribution toward helping us wipe out what President Nixon has called public enemy number one. Call 800-368-5363.
The Senate has passed a bill raising the minimum wage from $1.60 to $2.20 an hour. The measure now goes to the House. Just so you won't feel left out of all the important things going on in the world, here's the latest streaking story. The scene, the University of Illinois, an applauding crowd of about 6,000 people. A plane flew over the campus quadrangle. Four students with parachutes, shoes, and nothing else jumped out, streaking through the air and landing nude in the center of campus. It was just beautiful, said one of the streakers. I'm Jim Kilpatrick, CBS News.
This is Radio 97 News Headlines. Governor Tom McCall says he's thinking about running for the United States Senate. Multnomah County District Attorney Harl Haas says he probably won't prosecute five union officials arrested for trespassing during a strike on the Esco Corporation. Oregon will be getting substantially more gasoline during March than it did in February, so will the state of Washington. Governor Tom McCall says the extra gas means a mandatory state allocation program set to go into effect next Tuesday will be temporarily shelved. Oregon feedlot operators say rising feed costs may result in a beef shortage in the state by next summer. The Portland-Vancouver vicinity weather clearing and cold tonight, increasing clouds with a warming trend Friday. A little rain likely Friday night and periods of rain Saturday. The low tonight near 25 degrees, high Friday in the mid-40s and Saturday near 50. Chance of measurable precipitation 20% through Friday. Currently, downtown Portland, it's 37 degrees. This is George Good, KOIN News.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... I'm E.G. Marshall. Welcome to the world of terrifying imagination. The fear you can hear. Just mention the word swamp, and cold settles in the bones. The dampness runs through the veins like slime. And the thought of the brooding, cloying miasma lingers in the nostrils. Fetid, decaying, conjuring in the mind visions of things that slide and slip and slither in the night.
Who's that? Where are you? What is it? Where are you?
Stay away! Stay away! I'm trapped!
God, out of the quicksand. Out of the devil's cauldron.
Whoever you are, don't struggle. Try not to move. You'll sink faster.
Stay away. The swamp man has me. He'll get you too. It's too late for me. Save yourself.
Ah.
mystery drama, The Creature from the Swamp, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Ian Martin and stars Jack Grimes and Joan Loring. It is sponsored in part by Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, brewers of Budweiser, and by the Kellogg Company, makers of Kellogg's Special K cereal. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
There's nothing wrong with drinking Budweiser sip by sip, is there? Well, the brewers of Budweiser think there's a better way. Sipping's fine if you're drinking wine. But Bud is the king of beers, a hearty drink. Look, rinse a 10 or 12 ounce glass with cold water. Then, open a can or bottle of Bud and pour it right down the middle so it kicks up a good head of foam. Now, take a big drink and then swallow big. No sips. That's how it should be done. More taste, more beer drinking enjoyment. Thanks to exclusive Beechwood aging, Budweiser has a smoothness that lets it go down especially easy. Sure, it's an expensive way to brew beer, but brewing beer right does make a difference. That's why, when you say Budweiser, you've said it all. Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
Webster's Dictionary defines mystery as anything strange and inexplicable, a puzzle. There is no mystery why more and more people are choosing to shop at Jansen Beach Center. 60 stores and services to choose from. A pleasant atmosphere with comfort-controlled enclosed malls. Friendly service and plenty of free parking. Don't puzzle about where to shop. Visit Jansen Beach Center soon. Interstate 5 at Jansen Beach.
Hello. Are you enjoying your lunch today?
Very fine, thank you. My compliments to the Captain's Corner.
You can always expect delicious dining at the Captain's Corner restaurant and lounge, and you can expect to receive personal, friendly service. Individual attention to patrons is one of the things which makes us so popular. Lunch, dinner, beverages in the lounge. There's a corner on quality at the Captain's Corner, downtown on Southwest 12th between Jefferson and Main in the Century Tower building.
A young game and fish warden named Larry Drake, who for reasons of his own lived an isolated hermit's life in the heart of the great swamp, was returning after dark in a wild thunderstorm to his lonely cabin. Just as he approached the cup-shaped body of quicksand and swamp water called... since this is his story, and he left a painfully careful and detailed record, why not let him tell it for himself? I'm typing this before I do what I have to do. Because I know the sheriff must be on his way for me by now. This is the end of what began... seems a lifetime ago. But I reckon it's only a few days. The weather was foul. And as I started to skirt the edge of the Devil's Cauldron, I heard the sound of a woman crying. I broke through the undergrowth, and in a flash of lightning, I saw her for the first time trapped waist-deep in the slime and sinking fast.
Try to stay still. The more you flounder, the more you sink.
Leave me. Save yourself.
I'm not in any danger. Now, neither are you if you do as I say. Yeah, grab the end of this tree branch.
You steal your soul, too.
Let's not fuss over me. Concentrate on you. Grab the branch. That's it. Now, pull it towards you till you get the main stem. All right, now listen.
I'm not worth your saving.
We'll talk about that later. Now, go on. Grab it.
He's too strong. He'll pull me down.
Who?
The small man.
That's just old country talking. Have you got the branch?
Yes.
Okay. Now, don't you move, you hear me? I'm going to pull you in to me. Don't try to help. You can't do anything without sinking deeper. Just trust me. Trust me. Trust me.
Help.
Now, hush up. You're all right.
Who are you?
Oh, just a guy who pulled you out of the swamp. My name's Larry Drake. Here, I brought you some soup.
It's so dark in here.
It's the middle of the night.
Don't you have any light?
Just the gas lantern in the other room. Here, I'll set this down on the table by the bed.
Can't you bring the lantern in here?
I'd rather not. You have enough light to see.
I want to look at you.
Why?
I want to see the man who had enough courage to risk his life for me.
I don't really think you would. Does it matter all that much?
No. Who are you?
I told you, Larry Drake.
What were you doing by the Devil's Cauldron?
Coming home.
You live here?
Yep. If you call it living.
Why? I mean, what do you do?
I'm a fish and game warden. You see, right here smack in the middle of the Great Swamp is the last colony of great hooping spoonbills in the world. It's my job to try to keep them living. The blind leading the blind, or the damned trying to preserve the damned.
I don't quite understand you.
No, I suppose not. See, the spoonbill and me, we're just the same kind of species, right out of Mr. Darwin.
What does that mean?
We don't seem to fit our environment.
Oh, that makes me sort of the same.
Well, now I don't understand you.
It doesn't matter.
Who are you?
My name is Udine.
That's all? Just Udine?
I like the way you say it. That's all.
Okay. I don't want to pry. What were you doing way out here at the end of the world?
I was trying to escape.
Run away?
If you want to call it that.
From whom?
The swamp man.
The who?
He lives at the bottom of the Devil's Cauldron. There are only holes where his eyes ought to be. And his hair is made of Spanish moss. His shoulders are knotted with muscles, and his hands can span a wagon wheel. He has no legs. Only a great long trunk with one huge foot like a giant clam that grips the rock at the bottom with a suction no one can break. And he lives on those who are foolish enough to walk the swamp by night. With his hands he draws them down, down beneath the green slime and shifting black sand.
Oh, you've had a bad scare. You need to rest.
You should have left me. No, you're lost, too.
Oh, what a storm. Devil's out walking tonight.
Even, Sheriff.
Ain't had a spring like this since 53. Who's that there stretched out on the teeter side?
Oh, that Bubba James and some riffraff friend of his and runs the still with him.
Passed out cold.
But they brung in some powerful tasty corn liquor. Could you use a shot against the cold?
You wouldn't have to twist my arm, Jeb. I was said you run the best store in Carteret.
Well, the only one.
Guess you ain't doing much business today, Jeb.
No, powerful slow. Oh, damn, I meant to tell you right off. Guess who blew in again just before dark?
Who? Larry Drake.
Larry?
Thought you said he come in yesterday to stock up for the month.
Oh, he did.
He come back again today, all the way from the swamp?
He did.
Well, how come?
Well, he wanted some more supplies and a female dress and other such things.
What? You think he's finally getting over Barbara Jane?
Figure it out for yourself.
Well, how'd he look?
Well, that's how I'd say. No different, I guess, than he ever will.
Well, why didn't he stay in the hospital and have that face fixed?
Well, I reckon after what happened, he just plain didn't care. Looks like maybe he might now.
You mean old turtleskin Drake's got himself shacked up with some woman?
Why, doggone Bubba, I thought you was cold turkey.
You only got to mention a woman around old Bubba and he's awake.
Nah, you lay off, Larry Drake. He's had enough trouble for his lifetime without having to carry you on his back.
I'd just like to see what kind of woman old bacon-faced Larry Drake could get to look at him twice.
You reckon you can sleep now, Houdinet?
You're going to leave me, Larry? Bring the lantern.
Why?
I want to look at you.
Very well. Maybe it's best. I'm shading this light. I wouldn't want you to turn away from me.
Uncover it. Let me see.
All right.
Oh, poor Larry. What happened?
I had the world in my pocket, Houdinet. I was going to be married to Barbara Jane, who everybody said would be next Miss America. We were golden boy and golden girl. Wasn't it Byron who said, whom the gods love, die young? I got myself all licked up at a party 2 nights before the wedding and insisted on driving home. We went off the road and into a ditch. I was thrown clear, but she was trapped in the car. I tried to get through the flames to her, but she was burned to a crisp. As you can see, there wasn't much more left of me. Except I lived.
Your poor, poor face.
If they wanted to fix it, I suppose it could have been made better, but I had no money and less interest.
I want you to go to the swamp and bring me water from the cauldron and mud from the edge.
What for?
I'll show you.
I don't want to leave you now.
I wouldn't let you leave me now. You can only go by daylight. He can only come out of the swamp by night.
The swamp man?
Yes.
I'm not afraid of him. I'll go now.
No, no, please. Larry, don't. Stay with me. Stay with me. Come. Hold me in your arms.
What is it? Are you ill?
I'm afraid, Larry. I'm only afraid. He came for me once before on a night like this. Before I was... You see, he needs the dead and the wet. Because he can't walk. He has to crawl like a snake. Please. Larry. Please. Hold me. Hold me tight.
Houdinet. Oh. Do you know what it's like to hold a woman again?
To be warm.
Of the night the mind can form. What faceless horrors that creep and crawl and drag themselves out of the imagination into the world we think safe. Is the sound Larry and Houdinet strain to hear some unimaginable creature born from the murky deeps of the rotting swamps? Or does he exist only in the forest of the mind? I'll return shortly with Act Two.
And now another tale of the ball and chain. At Kellogg's Special K
presents Overweight on an Overnight Train.
Is the seat taken?
Please, sit down.
Thanks.
You have exceptional legs.
Oh.
But why is one of them attached to a ball and chain?
This ball and chain? It's a symbol.
Funny, I would have sworn it was a ball and chain.
I mean symbolic. Because carrying around a few extra pounds can be just like lugging around this ball and chain.
I see. May I suggest something?
Uh-huh.
Try a bowl of Special K skim milk, orange juice, and coffee. It's the Special K breakfast.
Will it make me lose weight?
No.
Oh.
You must also exercise and eat smart at every meal.
I see.
Do you know the Special K breakfast is less than 240 calories, 99% fat-free, and delicious?
No, but if you hum a few bars...
No, no.
And that's another tale of the ball and chain.
Your happy ending could begin with the Kellogg's Special K breakfast.
That's Kellogg's Special K. Good night.
Who knows how to help you solve your shopping problems? Your Better Business Bureau knows.
But they advertised this chair for $50, and now they won't sell it to me. They're even trying to get me to buy one for $100. Isn't there anyone who can tell me what to do?
I can, madam.
But who are you?
I am the man from the Better Business Bureau. And when someone advertises an item and then won't sell it to you when you come into the store, or tries to get you to purchase something at a higher price, you may be the victim of a scheme known as bait and switch. Don't fall for it. In most places, it's illegal.
Oh, sir, how can I ever thank you?
No need to thank me, madam. That's what Better Business Bureaus are for, to help consumers get a fair deal.
Isolated cabin deep in a semi-tropical swampland. A young man scarred physically and mentally by a tragic accident. A strange girl called only Udine, rescued from being sucked to death in smothering quicksand. And outside, a something that bumps and crawls in the rain-swept night. Listen.
Let me go.
No.
If he's there, I'll get rid of him.
You can't stand against the swamp man, Larry.
I can try.
No, it's me he's come for. Don't go out there. Wait.
What is it?
Listen. Do you hear anything?
The rain has stopped. He isn't moving anymore. Damn all, let's settle this.
Larry!
It's all right, Udine. Somebody here. Oh, the sun is coming up.
Oh, he's afraid of life. He can't face the day.
What is it, Udine?
I don't know. Burning up. Hold me, Larry. Hold me. You want to, don't you?
Yes. I don't know why, but yes. Oh, yes, yes.
Oh, is it because I look like her?
Who?
Barbara Jane.
Maybe. No. Yes. I don't know. I need you so. I need you so.
As I need you. As I need you.
Oh. Larry, it's all right. I went out to get the mud and the swamp water.
Give me water, please.
Oh, I'll get some fresh.
No. From the swamp. I have a glass here.
Yeah, but it's stagnant. It'll poison you.
No. No. Like medicine. Give me.
Are you sure?
Please.
Okay, here, Udine.
Thank you.
Oh, that's better.
Oh, I feel much better now.
I'm worried about that cough.
It's nothing. I'm just very dry.
You look so flushed.
Bring me the other pail. You did bring mud.
Looks more like slime to me. Oh. You sure?
Of course, I'm sure. It's marvelous, Larry, you'll see. It soothes the skin. Look, I rub it into my skin, and I can feel the muscles relax and then become renewed again. It smooths away every wrinkle. Come here, Larry. Kneel beside me.
Don't look at me in the light.
Don't be afraid. I see behind the mask. And I'm going to gentle that poor, charred skin. Feel how smooth and gentle. Shut your eyes. And you are in a cave of water. Down in the cool, green depths. Quiet and soulful. Like a cathedral at the silent bottom of a sun-struck lake.
I could have this moment last forever. Or choose it for the one to die.
Does it feel good?
I don't know about this primeval slime. It's all in the touch of your hands.
Oh, if only it were. Sorry. I'm so tired.
I should let you rest.
No.
Here, let me get a cloth to wash your face.
No, leave it up. Don't.
Let me feel your brow. No. Oh, Janae, you're running a fever. I'm going to get it to a doctor.
I don't need a doctor. Don't leave me alone.
Dearest, what is it you're afraid of?
I told you.
The swamp man?
Yes.
But that's plain fancy, hallucination. Oh, Janae, who are you? Where do you come from? Are you a husband, a lover, of a family?
No. No family, no husband, and nobody looking for me but him. But I have a lover now. Larry. I need rest.
Udine? Udine? She must be running 100 to 3 or 4. I've got to get a doctor. A doctor!
Tarnation, Larry. You can't just bust in here and ask me to go traipsing off into the swamp with you to look at this girl.
But she's sick, Dr. Prince. Very sick. It sounds to me like she could have double pneumonia.
I can't, son. There's only one of me. Bring her in here. I'll be glad to examine her.
I got to carry her out of the swamp. You know there's no road into my cabin.
Yes, I know it. It's why I can't spare the time.
You think this antibiotic will bring her temperature down?
I can only hope. I don't dare prescribe anything else sight unseen. Of course, if I knew for a fact that it was the swamp fever, I...
You need a blood test for that.
Yeah.
All right, Doc. I'll bring you back a blood sample myself.
That's right. You were fixing to be a veterinarian, I forgot.
Yeah, a lot of things I was fixing to be once, Doc.
There you are, Larry boy. That'll be 375 out of 10. Now, you take two every 4 hours. You want some water to start off here?
Oh, they're not for me, Jeb.
Yeah, well, now, I didn't somehow expect they was. You don't act like you were sick, none.
Oh, I'm not. Jeb, I want to buy a gun.
Oh, stuff me for a little. I thought you was plumb set against any sort of firearm.
Well, I've changed. How much is that one, then?
This year, 45?
Yeah. And a box of shells.
Now, what do you want it for?
Protection.
Oh, well, I reckon living as deep in the swamp as you do, you need it. All right, that'll be, let's see, $85 and $5.20 for the state. That's $90.20 altogether.
Okay, here is. Is there enough here?
Well, Larry boy, where'd you get money like that?
Well, I've been saving it since I went into the swamp, Jeb. Nothing much to spend it on there.
Up until the last few days, huh?
What does that mean?
Oh, come on, son. Here's a change. I know from the other day that you got yourself a woman out there.
That's none of your business.
Larry, you ain't got nothing but friends around here. I ain't poking into your chicken coop. I just hope she's someone who'll treat you right. And I'm right sorry to hear she's poorly.
Well, she got herself caught in the devil's cauldron. I had to pull her out.
You don't say now. Local girl?
I don't know. Any missing hereabouts?
Well, as I've heard tale, can I ask her name?
Udine.
Udine. That's kind of foreign, like, eh? What's she look like, Larry?
She looks like the spitting image of Barbara Jane.
And you found her in the devil's cauldron?
Half buried in the quicksand.
Larry, boy, you sure she's what she seems to be?
Come on, Jess. See another rain. Hi there, Jeb. Got some smokes for me and my buddy? Well, here's an unexpected pleasure. Mr. Larry Drake, the happy hermit.
I'll be leaving, Jeb. Good night.
Didn't you hear me talking to you, old buddy?
Hello, Bubba.
Ain't you gonna say hello to old Jess here? You remember Jess Gilford?
Hi, Jess.
Oh, there, Larry.
Excuse me, I was...
What's your hurry? Don't you want to visit for a while?
There isn't much left to be said between you and me.
That's damn right. Not since you killed my sister.
It was an accident.
Barbara Jane got killed. You escaped.
Come on, Bubba. Let me.
Stay out of this, Jess. What you wearing, Larry? Little black paint to hide that pretty face the fire chewed up?
Let me pass, Bubba.
Maybe you're smart to cover up now you got a new woman with you. You might turn her stomach.
Get out of my way.
Blindside him, Jeff.
Get free. All three of you. Now, don't any of you move a whisker. Now, you shut up, Bubba, and you just stay out of what's none of your affair. Larry, you don't use your hands for nothing more than letting yourself out that door. Go on now, while the going's good.
I'm going, Jeb. But why did you tell trash like Bubba about me?
I didn't mean to, Larry. He overheard by accident.
Okay. Now, Bubba, you stay away from me. I've taken all from you. I'm going to. Hush, hush, Udine.
Larry? Oh, I thought...
No, there's nothing to worry about. How do you feel?
Some water, please.
That's right here.
Thanks, Larry. That feels better.
I feel like getting up for a while. I've made us some dinner.
If you want me to. Oh, what happened to my dress?
I threw it away. It was all stained and torn.
Oh, well, then what
did I... I brought you a new one from the store. I hope it fits and you like it.
You bought me a new gown.
Well, you have to have something to wear.
Oh.
Open this glass.
I haven't had a new gown. Oh, Larry. It's beautiful. Oh, it's beautiful. Give me a little time by myself to freshen up and put it on.
Oh, you're beautiful. You're so beautiful.
Is it because I look like her?
Yes. And no. Barbara Jane is dead. You're alive. What is it?
Nothing. Larry, I'm tired again. So tired.
Oh, I've kept you sitting here too long in front of the fire. You...
No.
Oh, you sure cast a spell over me. I didn't realize it had gone out. I'll get some fresh wood.
No, darling, I don't need a fire. I just... Is it still raining?
Yeah, cats and dogs.
Oh.
So heavy you can't see.
It's pitch dark out.
Well, it's been a black day. Night came early.
So will he. This time he won't wait too late.
Who did they listen to me, darling? You're here with me. You're safe. There's no such thing as a swamp man.
He's coming. I feel it. He's coming.
It's just superstition and folk.
No, listen.
You see, there's nothing.
Listen. Without me.
He won't leave with you as long as I'm here.
No, don't go out.
I brought some protection.
My son's known you against him.
We'll find out soon enough. Swamp man, if you come for her, you won't get her. I'm giving you one last warning. Stay back.
An eldritch wail, an eerie cry out of the night, and a shot in self-defense. But what good is a gun against a ghoul or a hobgoblin? Creatures of the mind and dark night fantasies are not laid to rest by a bullet. I'll return shortly with Act Three.
Hi, I'm Hal Linden. There's a lot of talk these days about America's energy crisis. Talk about doing without heat, about doing without our cars, about what's going to happen if we run out of fuel. Well, we may not have to run out of fuel if we all work together to conserve the fuel we have. That means turning your thermostats down to 68 degrees during the day and turning them down to 60 at night. It means turning off lights, TV sets, and electrical appliances the minute we're finished with them. It means driving no faster than 50. Starting or joining carpools. Avoiding the kind of stop-and-go motoring that eats up gas by the gallon. In short, it means saving every ounce of energy we can, every chance we get. So please, do your part to make the fuel supply stretch a little further. For your own sake, don't be selfish. Don't be foolish. Don't be fuelish.
This message from the Federal Energy Office and the Advertising Council.
Don't let anyone con you into thinking it's wrong to turn in a heroin pusher. You're not ratting. You're doing your part to wipe out one of the most insidious epidemics racking our country today. So don't let anyone kid you. If you really care about the quality of life, if you really care about improving society, you'll do everything you can to get the heroin pusher off the street and into jail where he belongs. If you have information about a drug pusher, use the heroin hotline. The number is 800-368-5363. That's toll-free from anywhere in the country. The number again is 800-368-5363. A trained operator will answer your call, take your information, and pass it on to experienced federal agents who will investigate. You'll make your own special contribution toward helping us wipe out what President Nixon has called public enemy number one. Call 800-368-5363.
What a host of strange, blood-chilling monsters the human imagination has dredged up from the depths. The Loch Ness Monster, mermaids, sea serpents, the merciless Lorelei, the inexorable sirens, the poet Keats' immortal La Belle Dame sans Merci, the lovely lady without mercy who lured kings and princes to a watery grave. But in this story, which is the true menace from the swamp? The swamp man himself or his escaped captive, Udine? Let us return to Larry Drake's confession to find out.
I didn't mean to shoot, but I couldn't help myself. Then I saw the shadowy figure stumbling towards me. After the shot, the crazy laughing stopped. I moved up on it very carefully. I could see that it was no swamp man, since there were legs dressed in jeans and field boots.
Oh.
Who are you?
Baba. Baba James. God Almighty, Larry, you killed me.
What were you doing here?
Oh, just a joke. I wanted to see what kind of woman would give you the time of day. Joke's on me. Killed me just like you killed my sister.
It was an accident, Baba. I've told you.
Oh, you know what, Frogface? You better take yourself out of circulation. You're plumb accident prone. Please. Where's Jack?
Nothing more I could do for Bubba. He was dead. I got a tarp from the lean-to by the cabin and covered him up against the rain. And then I went back to the cabin. Houdinet?
What happened out there?
Nothing. Forget about that. All that matters right now is to get you to a doctor.
No. I'm too weak, Larry. I couldn't make it in this weather.
Then I'm going for the doctor.
No. Don't leave me alone.
Okay, Houdinet. With the river cresting and all the rain, I probably couldn't get across anyway.
Oh.
But tomorrow morning, come hella high water.
Let tomorrow wait for its time. Tonight we're still together. Let time wait on us.
I never closed my eyes. But all the time we were together, Houdinet slept a troubled sleep. Her skin hot and dry, her breathing shallow. I took her pulse and her temperature, and what they showed me sent me off at dawn for town.
Now, I don't know what the Sam Hill you're up to, Larry. Have you been drinking?
No, Doctor. What do you mean?
Well, I don't know about the blood sample. That'll have to be tested. But those other vital signs you described...
That's why I'm here to drag you back to see her.
Well, impossible. A pulse of under 30, a BP of 60 over 40, flushed and feverish and running a temperature of under 90? Well, she should be cold and clammy. That isn't enough to sustain life, human life anyway. You must have made a mistake.
No mistake. I was as careful as I could be. Houdinet is alive. You can see for yourself when you come.
I shouldn't give in to you, but you got me intrigued. Can we get across the river?
If we leave right now.
Okay. Hello? When? Well, can he be moved, Cheryl? Yeah. Look here. You have him lift him in a blanket and handle him like he was partridge eggs. Yeah. Right to the office. I'll be waiting. Well, Larry, I can't go with you now.
Now, wait a minute. You said you were...
That was the sheriff down to the levee. Toady William got trapped under a sandbag slide. He's in bad shape. They're bringing him here for me to operate on.
How long is that going to take?
It could be well on to most of the afternoon. I'll come out to your place as soon as I'm finished.
You don't understand.
I understand, son, but I got to take first things first.
But you'll surely come.
Yeah, I promise.
How are you going to find your way into the swamp?
I'll pick up Jeb Scanlon to guide me. He knows this country like the back of his hand.
Jeb! Jeb!
I just told him, what ails you, boy? You look high on the ground. Now, where's your sidekick, Bubba?
Bubba. He's dead, Jeb. He's dead. Larry Drake blew a hole in him with a big old .45.
Lord Almighty. The sheriff know about this?
No, I just got to town. I thought I might find him here.
Oh, he's down the river. Crest goes by this afternoon around 4. Here, here's your drink.
Oh, thank you.
When did all this happen?
last night. Bubba and me, well, you know, Bubba, he figured he was going to bother Larry some about the woman he was supposed to be shacked up with. We come up on the cabin, and the lights was on. And Bubba, he says, I want to give old frog-faced Larry and his fancy woman some big scare. He just watched me make like old swamp man. And then he started calling, kind of ghostly-like, and the next thing I knew...
Now, come on, boy, pull yourself together.
Larry out on the porch, and he called after. Then he just let rip with that big old cannon. I heard that slug rip right through Bubba, and I took off for the trees like all the devils in hell was on my tail.
So you don't know if Bubba's dead?
The way I heard him take it, I don't see how he could be anything else.
You didn't stay to find out?
No, sir, not me.
You just took out, yeah? Larry don't know you was with Bubba last night?
You know, I wouldn't think it. You see, he come out thinking Bubba was the swamp man, and old Bubba, he was just trying to keep up the fun and all that.
Yeah, that Bubba was a card. He just picked himself the wrong poker game this time. Sure looks like Larry's got himself mixed up in something mighty strange.
I'm sorry I was gone so long. Can I get you something?
Water from the swamp.
No, no more poison. The doctor's coming to see you.
The doctor can't help me.
Just give him the chance.
I haven't time. Listen to me, Larry. He's won. I know that now.
Who?
The swamp man. I can't live in the air anymore.
That's ridiculous. That's sheer nonsense.
Look at me, Larry. I'm dying. I'm out of my element.
Your element?
It isn't air anymore. It's water. I have to go back or die. If only you could come with me. But he'd never let you.
I'd fight him for you.
Oh, I suppose you'd try. You love me that much. Larry?
Yes?
The wine we had at dinner last night.
Yes?
Could you bring a glass and share it with me?
Okay, I'll get it. This is no goodbye toast. I'd never let you go.
I know.
Okay, this is to drink to your staying here till Dr. Prince gets here and has a chance to prescribe for you and make you well. So that you and me can live forever afterwards.
Drink deep, Larry. My love.
To you.
Sleep, my love, till I call for you again. I have to leave you now. The water is green and cool, and it washes the skin like ointment. And the moss dampness makes you whole again. You will be so fair, your skin renewed, your youth returned. So much for so little. What is a soul worth, after all?
Well, quite frankly, I think my patient is much more Larry than this mysterious woman.
What's that mean?
Well, from all the evidence, no one, save Larry, has seen her.
You don't mean She don't exist.
Well, physiologically, as a doctor, I don't see how she can. In addition to the impossible figures on her vital signs, I got a report on her blood sample.
And?
I don't know where our veterinarian game warden got it, but that was no human blood.
What kind, then?
Not a biologist or a hemopathologist. Reptile, fish. Not a warm-blooded animal, and certainly not a primate.
You think this is some kind of a hoax?
Well, I think a boy I loved very deeply because of what he once was is obviously broken psychologically. I think we'd better get out to that swamp and see what tatters of him remain that might be pasted together.
If Jess Tomlin's testimony is right, there ain't many tatters remaining.
So this is the end of it. I don't know what Undide put in that wine, but I just woke up and she's gone. I intend to follow her now once I finish this. I don't know what I shall find in the Devil's Cauldron. A fight to the death with a swamp man. Reunion with Udine. Peace at last. Or eternal damnation. I only know that a moment ago I looked in the mirror and my face is no longer twisted or scarred. The skin is as young and unwrinkled as it was that night so long ago when Barbara Jane and I left a party 2 days before we were to be married. I will step into the sand and wait to sink while death smooths me over.
Maybe there's still time. We better head back for the swamp.
Hold the light higher, Jim.
You ever see anything like that?
The old Devil's Cauldron is boiling like the fires of hell was under it.
Probably all the rain in the high surface table. Trapped swamp gas bubbling to the surface.
Yeah, or Larry and old One-Two locked in combat. Oh, there ought to be some way we could get in there and try to help the boy.
You stay where you are. This swamp has bought enough lives in its time. Come daylight, we'll see.
My God, look. What's that?
I can't see too good. Hold your lanterns high.
Well, that's a body surfacing.
It ain't Larry. How do you know in this half light?
Why, he ain't got no legs. That's the swamp man.
Or a manatee or some other animal. Do not see. By tomorrow, the currents will have sucked it away.
Yeah, maybe if it is the swamp man, he's the lucky one. Who's to say the woman ain't the one who sucks them dry and spews them out?
Yeah, you spend too much time gossiping around the stove, Jim.
It could be. That's what the old ones say. A swamp is a woman that drags men down. Often her body in exchange for their souls.
The way the legend goes. But then, there are so many legends. The classic fabled water sprites called Udine, who could receive human souls by marrying a mortal, La Belle Dame Sans Merci, who stole men's souls in exchange for love, then numbers must be legion. And for that matter, since no one but Larry ever saw her, perhaps Udine was only a figment of the imagination. I leave you to make your choice. I'll be back shortly.
Well, it's all right to tell one lie, isn't it?
You can't.
Then how about lying just a little bit?
Not a little bit.
You mean you can never lie?
Never.
Well, why not?
Because when you tell a lie...
Yeah?
It gets stuck inside your heart.
You mean that just one lie will make your heart dark?
Makes you sad, too.
Oh, then what should you do if you tell a lie?
Well, you just say I'm sorry.
And then what?
Then the light goes inside your heart.
Oh, the light goes on?
Yes.
Oh, a light doesn't really go on in your heart, does it?
Yes, it does.
Well, how do you know?
Because the light in your heart will shine in your eyes.
Oh.
And then you'll be happy.
I wonder why people tell lies.
I wonder why, too.
From the Franciscans, with love.
One footnote before we part. The word of this story having gotten around, the Okefenokee Swamp is avoided by hunters these days, like the plague. And as a result, the wildlife, left in peace and quiet, breed happily and prolifically once again. So, like Larry and Udine, let's allow them all to rest in peace. Our cast included Jack Grimes, Joan Loring, Ian Martin, Robert Dryden, and Leon Janney. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown.
Now, a preview of our next tale.
Could I talk to you a minute, Mr. Wheeler?
No, Lucas, I'm sorry. I've got to get these groceries home. We have company for dinner tonight.
She's at your place, ain't she? A girl.
What girl?
Iris Lloyd. The girl who finds things. I'm afraid of her, Mr. Weaver. I'm afraid she'll find out what we did.
Shut up. Don't you ever say anything like that to me again.
I'm scared, Mr. Weaver. I'm telling you, that girl is peculiar. She knows what you're thinking. She knows where you can find anything. Even dead bodies.
Get away from me, Lucas. I told you to keep away from me when I came here. Now, get away from my car before I run you down.
But I'm scared. I'm scared of that little girl.
This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
Many parents can remember the polio epidemics that killed and crippled thousands of children. Polio was still alive. 4 of every 10 preschool children in the Portland Tri-County area are not adequately immunized against polio. If you aren't sure about your family's polio protection, your local JC chapter urges you to contact your physician or health department immediately.
George Good has the Oregon News following CBS News at the 11 o'clock hour from your CBS voice. For the City of Roses, your dial is set on 97, KOIN, Portland, the time, 11 o'clock.
CBS News, some new arguments involving the White House and the House Judiciary Committee. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS Radio Network. As the committee continues trying to get material for its impeachment probe, some charges and countercharges have been made. James St. Clair, President Nixon's Watergate lawyer, says the committee is seeking access to hundreds of thousands of documents and thousands of hours of recorded conversation. But John Doerr, the chief counsel for the committee, says the White House is trying to restrict committee access to White House documents and limit the impeachment inquiry. New indictments were handed down Thursday in the break-in at the office of Daniel Ellsberg's psychiatrist. Former presidential aides John Ehrlichman, Charles Colson, and Gordon Liddy are among those charged. Also charged were three Cuban Americans, Bernard Barker, Eugenio Martinez, and Felipe De Diego. More news after this message.
Give your head to a friend. Give your heart to your love. Give your cold. Contact, the sooner the better.
Hey, I'm back. How's that cold?
Rotten. Get the contact?
I got everything. Contact, cold tablets, and this liquid.
Oh, no.
Honey, it's all cold medicine.
Well, sure, but it only takes one contact for up to 12 hours continuous relief from sneezing, drips, congestion. For that, I'd need 6 of your cold tablets.
2 every 4 hours.
Or 3 ounces of nighttime liquid.
1 every 4 hours.
Or just one contact. The tiny dye pills do it.
Well, it's all cold medicine.
Those others contain antipyretic analgesics, the liquid, antitussive, and alcohol. They're not in contact.
6 or 3 or 1. I choose the one contact.
Me too. And I'm the one with the cold.
Give me cold. Contact, the sooner the better.
6 or 3 or 1. When you catch a cold, take contact. Only as directed.
California Secretary of State Edmund Brown Jr. acted yesterday to revoke the notary license of Frank DeMarco, an attorney accused of backdating the deed to support President Nixon's write-off on his vice presidential papers. Asked about DeMarco's charge that the action was politically motivated, Brown had this response.
This man, Mr. DeMarco, has falsely backdated by over a year the transfer on a deed. He falsely notarized the statement. That's what he has said. He's admitted it out of his own mouth. And if I took any other action, I just don't think I'd be doing my job as Secretary of State. I don't know whether it's good politics or good government. But I know this is what the statute requires. I think the people are entitled to know less. This is not any ordinary matter. It's the President of the United States. It's a $570,000 tax deduction, all based on a false notarization. I think it's just not appropriate.
Brown says the alleged backdating shows a strong possibility of attempted tax fraud. Secretary of State Kissinger appeared Thursday before a congressional panel to speak about some serious matters, but the secretary managed to get some levity into the proceedings. Jed Duval has a report.
Secretary Kissinger said he agrees with the objectives of those senators and congressmen who want to withhold approval of trade with the Soviets until the Kremlin eases immigration policies. But, said Kissinger, he thinks they're going about it the wrong way. As the detente, the warming of relations over the past few years has occurred, he noted, Jewish migration out of Russia has risen dramatically. The trade talk shifted to Western Europe, America having been stung in recent weeks by more and more talk from the Europeans that they want to do things on their own, make separate deals, for instance, with the Arab oil princes. The questioning got tougher, but Kissinger's style, as usual, is to keep them laughing. For example, here's Ribicoff of Connecticut, then the secretary.
Why do you feel that France...